Log Talk Radio.
Conference as we went up against the Milwaukee Bucks, one of the leading teams in the Eastern Conference, and they came to the ATL, they came to State Farm Arena, and guess what? We again proved how much of a home court advantage we really do have and how much of a team that we have after, you know, all these injuries, all the turmoil, all everything that you can think of, throw all the adjectives out there. Here it is. We're in the thick of it. And again, prove we're a bad team, ain't we? 646-652-4479. It's been a while since we've had a show on Around the ATL, so let's go ahead and try to get back on a regular schedule again, right? So tonight, we're going to have a full show, 2 hours of sports talk for the Atlanta market. But of course, since the game just ended, we are going to start with the Atlanta Hawks. But as we usually do, let's do this. Let's go ahead and give a shout out to some of those social media platforms that we like to participate with during the week. Starting off with the Falcons Nation page, Dirty Bird Nation, Atlanta Bird Gang, all the Falcons pages there. We are the G, the Savage Dogs of UGA. Those are UGA pages. New Pack City, Atlanta Hawks Nation, and Hawks Nation. I'm in the New Pack City page doing a Facebook Live. Make sure you join in. Atlanta Braves fan group and a Tomahawk Talk fan group. Hopefully we'll be able to talk some baseball later with those guys. Atlanta FC, we know Atlanta FC just won their match yesterday. And, of course, the Atlanta Dream page. So make sure you, if you're in one of those pages, call into the show. Let's talk a little bit. Of course, make sure you visit my website, imtnworldwideimages.com. Anybody listening to the show tonight gets a discount on a free photo shoot. I shouldn't say free photo shoot because that's not a discount. It's a free photo shoot. So guess what? Since I said it, somebody who might get the call in or at least message on the IMTN Worldwide Instagram page might get a free photo shoot. You got to be in Atlanta, though. Got to be serious. That being said, let's go ahead. Oh, by the way, the show is always brought to you by the Originative brand. Make sure you go to the Instagram page of Mr. Jamal Price and go and get some garb from him. He has all kinds of different apparel featuring Atlanta sports. Whether it be the Braves, the Hawks, the Falcons, whoever, make sure you hit them up. Make sure you let them know they're around the ATL sent you to them. And, of course, shout out to the Okan twins who are right now in Nigeria. They should be getting in the bed right now going to sleep. But they're doing some big things there, and they'll be coming to America very soon. Now, that being said, let's go ahead and bring in our co-host. He is a writer for the dogcast.com website, former writer of Sports Illustrated Bulldog Maven, and also a contributor for ATL All Day via FanSided. That is, of course, Mr. Jordan Jackson. What's going on, Jordan?
Woo! Woo! Sir, I am hyped up. I'm talking about what a game, what a fourth quarter comeback. Man, first of all, I want to give a shout-out to everybody on Hawks Twitter because they are very much at the same energy I have right now from glancing on there before the game. Second person I want to give a shout-out to is Steve Holman, man, who we've had on our show a couple times. And, man, I tell you, I didn't get a chance to watch any of that game. I caught all of it on the radio broadcast. And
oh,
it
cool.
was a fantastic broadcast, man. I mean, I don't think I've laughed that hard, like, watching any sports, like, in a long time, man. Because, you know, just all of his phrases and nicknames and making fun of the other team. And, oh, man, it was just tremendous, man. I mean, great win. What a team. And, you know, we'll get more into it as the Hawks segment goes along. But I just want to go ahead and say this off the top. I know many of y'all are shell shocked. I know many of y'all out there, you know, believe in some kind of Atlanta curse or whatever it may be. But I need you to put all that aside because this is not the same Hawks team that was ran by the bad management in the past. The bottom is not going to fall out with this team. This team is a good basketball team. And when I say team, I mean team in true sense of the word, like a lot of good ball players. And this team is here to stay. And so I need y'all to go ahead and believe now. You know what I mean? And so that's all I want to say about that, Chris. So with that being said, sir, I know I'm all over the place. I'm so excited. But let's talk about these developments.
We're going to extend the segment, and you kind of led into something I'm going to say right after this. We haven't played that in a long time. So what Jordan was saying here is that, again, if you didn't get to watch the game and you got to listen to the radio, Steve Holman is one of the most authentic Hawks fans you could ever hope to have in your organization, okay? And there's a lot of people who, even despite this win, there's people trying to figure out right now what happened to Milwaukee. Okay, it doesn't make any sense. We're not supposed to understand those type of people. But we just beat the Milwaukee Bucks down how many players again? So let me just run through this real quick. Nate is 20-7. Hold on. Nate is 20-7 taking over the Hawks now. Okay? And again, let me say that again. 20-7. How many wins is that, y'all? 20-7. So my question is, before we even get into players and everything, because I was going to mention about how Red Mamba's been playing, of course, and Gallo giving you 16 and 18 a night when he hasn't been hurt. Bogey, of course, dominating out there, as he did again. Goody doing what he does. And then, of course, well, I'm not going to call him Super Lou. Who is that? I don't know who that is. But we have 5 or 6 players missing almost every game now, and we're still winning. How far do you think the Hawks can go? How far do you want them to go? Hint, hint on the question. Go ahead, Jordan.
Oh, well, sir, I was just saying it's actually 6 players that we were down this game. I was just interjecting that in real quick. But, yeah, you're absolutely right, sir. This team is the real deal. It's time to give up all the hurt of past Hawks teams and recognize that this team is here and they're not going anywhere anytime soon. Like, they're young, they're talented. Like you said, we've been missing players all season long. In fact, only 2 teams have lost more player games due to injury. You know, I mean player games, I mean players missing games. And that is Orlando is one, and the other is, oh, goodness, I'm trying to remember my notes. But the fact of the matter is both of those teams, and I have that answer for you in just a second, both of those teams that have lost more games due to injury than we have, they are terrible. They aren't even close to the playoffs. They're at the bottom of the league. Now, according to another advanced stat that keeps up with that type of thing. They claim the Hawks have lost the second most wins due to injury behind the Nets. And the reason why it's behind the Nets in that situation is because they count, their formula counts so much for Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden, with them being established superstars. But with that being said, it's still very close. They say the Nets have lost about, 9.5 victories, and the Hawks have lost about 9.35 victories due to injury. And so if this team was healthy, sir, you're looking at a 50-win team in a 72-game season.
I just posted it on the New Pack City page that I've been saying it for weeks now, really months, to where the change that happened earlier in March. We spotted the Eastern Conference 20 losses, and that's been my biggest thing. It's like this season should be completely different. But hey, guess what, though? We're making up for it late, big time, aren't we? 646-652-4479. Now we got a call. I'm going to go ahead and bring them in. Good evening, caller. Go ahead and tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Gentlemen, good evening. This is John.
What's going on, John?
What's up, sir?
Man, good to hear you guys. Good that Around the ATL is back. I'm currently on the road headed toward Chattanooga right quick, but I saw your post and I said, I've got to call in because, man, oh, man, oh, man.
What a difference a day makes.
But look, man, look, now, we hurt. We are hurt, man. And we kicking butt hurt. Man,
yes.
Let me tell you something. The only thing, what I'm scared of, somebody's going to try to sign these players away. Somebody's going to try to get the priorities folk loose from us. I mean, man. I'm telling you.
They got to try. I don't think it's going to work, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, thing is, I hope that the players are noticing Nate McMillan and how he's coaching and how he's, built the team together so that they will want to stay. There is no better situation. I'll say it right now. There's no better situation in the entire league than what you have right now. Because you get your starters back, you don't have to worry about anything. You might get a lead. Now, I'm gonna say it. You're gonna get a lead against the East anyway. You definitely gonna get a lead if you put the subs in because see, these people have been battle tested. Especially tonight, and they redeemed themselves exceedingly well by beating the Milwaukee Bucks. Because see, last game they held them for three quarters. Then we started doing some things, throwing the ball away, not being careful with the ball, missing shots. But tonight we hung with the best that the Eastern Conference has to have.
They didn't have Walker wounded on the other side, so they can't. I'm just wondering what the guys on TNT and ESPN are doing right now because I'm just wondering, I'm just wondering, is this interesting, Just saying.
Well, and I'm going to tell you something else. Now, I don't know whether you guys remember, but do you remember when the talk was go and draft a superstar or get a superstar from another team? And what did I tell you guys?
Oh,
grow
baby!
Your own here. I told you, grow your own team here. And don't be trying to beg nobody to come here. Grow your own food in your own garden.
Yes, sir.
And it's working out, man. It is working out because thing is, we can throw waves of people at other teams. That's the beauty of it. They have to rest their superstar, and then they have to, these Hawks, they liable to run away from us. Hey, man, you got to get on back in there. Hurry up. Drink that Gatorade. Wipe your face off. Get on back in there because those Hawks ain't no telling what they're going to do. And with that type of, and I want to get to the point where we get 20 points just landing in the airport of the next city. Now, that's yeah. when you know you've arrived, you know. I'm encouraged.
Yes, sir, John. It's a whole lot to be encouraged about, man. I mean, this team, I'm telling you, people think I'm crazy, and they don't really understand it because they haven't seen our team full. But this is the deepest basketball team, not only that Atlanta has had, that the entire NBA has seen in 20 years, okay? The only squad I could think of that was deep like this, you know, and when I say deep, because I know there are a few teams that signed a bunch of aging veterans that were out of their prime, and they had a lot of names on them. That's not true depth to me. I'm talking about talented players with a lot of them still being in their prime. The only team I've seen like that was Portland back when they had Damon Stoudemire, Steve Smith, Scottie Pippen, Rasheed Wallace, and Arvydas Sabonis. And off the bench, they had Greg Anthony, they had Bonzi Wells, they had Detlef Schrempf, they had Brian Grant, and they had Jermaine O'Neal coming off their bench. They had two solid starting fives. Well, we got two starting five calibers, two starting caliber five units we could put out there, and then we still got another two or three guys that deserve to play. That's how deep we are. And I totally agree, John. I want to keep all of these guys that we have right now. I don't want to trade nobody. And the good thing about, you know, as far as worried about someone else taking our players, we only really have three prominent free agents. One is John Collins, but he's restricted. We're going to match any offer for him if we don't come to an agreement with him ourselves. He's not going anywhere. So they might as well not even think about him. And the other two are Tony Snell, who leads the league in three-point percentage, who I definitely want to see back, and Lou Williams, who I definitely want Lou back, and I don't see no reason why he wouldn't want to come back, because I'm telling you something. You know, people can they can call me crazy right now or whatever, you know, but within the next few years, this team is going to sure enough have the chance to play for a championship if they don't surprise people this year and get to the finals like Miami did last year. And so with that being said, what better storybook ending would it be? Right. What better storybook ending would it be for Lou Williams to be hoist up that championship trophy right here in his hometown city to end his career? I mean, you couldn't write a better ending than that. And so I want to keep all these guys. I want to beat teams with depth. And, you know, not saying that we do need to trade for anybody because I don't want to do that anytime soon, but the beauty of having this much depth, that if, you know, a particular superstar that you feel like is the perfect fit for your team has to be traded, the Hawks could definitely make a competitive trade offer as good as any team while still having the talent to go around that superstar and trade and whoever else is on the team. You know, so that being said, I'm fine with who we have now, but it's just the beauty of that depth, you know, you can look at it in so many ways that it just gives you so many options towards building your championship roster.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the deal. You got to do this.
You play to win the game.
Yes, sir.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And here's why that's important. Travis made the moves to get people to fix those holes that we did have last year, and you had people wanting to come here. Bogey wanted to come here. You know, Gallo wanted to come here. You have people wanting to be on this team. And now you see the value of the want, but then also the belief. And that's what's been preached from the very beginning from Nate taking over, which is why he's 20-7. Because, again, the whole purpose of playing basketball is to win. Everything else is substandard. And Trey has been saying that from the get-go. Trey said when he got drafted that he wanted to get the team to the playoffs that year. And you know what happened? The second year, you know what happened. And you know what was happening up until a certain part of this year. I'm not going to get into it. Everybody knows what I'm going to say. It's important to believe that you can win and want to win. That's important. You can develop and all that kind of good stuff. But if you're not winning, there's a problem with that at a certain point, not even having the capability of winning. We're winning with 6 and 7 guys out all the time. All the time. It's a regular thing. I thought we were going to have Bruno start at point guard tonight. I'm just saying. I mean, who? It doesn't matter, does it? So that's the exciting thing about this. And again, that's why I said at the very beginning of the show, of this segment, is you still have people who are still not sure. They still don't want to go all in with their fandom. I did a whole video on this the other day basically saying, it's like, what's holding you back? What has traumatized you so much that from season to season, you don't believe that the Hawks have a chance to win until they're mathematically eliminated from the playoffs? Because that's how it is with any team. But for whatever reason, it's worse with us, and we're already fighting against, you know, the media. You're already fighting against the other Yahoo fans bases out there and things of that nature. We shouldn't have to fight against ourselves to be hyped about our team. We just watched our team two nights in a row beat the defending Eastern Conference champions and beat the other top-tier, supposedly, you see my air quotes, Facebook, the other top-tier team that's out there. You see what I'm saying? In a series, one game, okay, anybody can beat anybody in one game, but it's a series in the playoffs. And we're still not healthy. In a seven-game series, I've been saying this for weeks now, who in the world is really going to have a chance to beat the Hawks unless it's the Hawks beating themselves? Because with the coach that we have who knows what he's doing and the players that we have, that he's never had this much talent before. Jordan did a great job of talking about that Portland team. That Portland team at the time was a dangerous team. But guess what, though? They didn't advance to the championship, though, right? This team has as much chance as anybody in the Eastern Conference as is. We don't know what James Harden is going to do. We don't know if KD is going to remain healthy. We don't know if Kyrie is going to take PTO time. You know, and we know Philly. I'm not afraid of Philly by any stretch of the imagination because of who we got starting. So other than that, like, who really in a seven-game series that's below us can beat us? So I feel that at this point in time, why can't we speak to the Hawks doing something this year now? What do we got to wait 3 or 4 years down the road for? It doesn't make any sense. So I just wanted to say that because it's a big deal. What happened tonight and what's happened the last couple of weeks when we've seen this team where we, again, what have I said? They spotted the Eastern Conference 20 losses. How many losses do we have now? Seven. That's crazy. Like, you got to really think about how crazy that is. 646-652-4479. Ron, right. Jordan, got anything else?
Well, real quick, just to expound upon what you were saying, sir, we were 6 games under .500 when Lloyd Pierce was fired. We are 7 games over .500. That's a 13-game turnaround, okay? And you mentioned Nate's record as, since he took over the head coaching job, which is correct. But you could also tack on two more wins that he got while Lloyd Pierce was out, but technically still the head coach when his wife had a child.
He was an interim coach.
Right. And the thing of the matter is, you know, all three of us have been on the same page. When it came to the coaching of Lloyd Pierce, you know, we complained that we weren't seeing any structure. We were complaining that we didn't see any screens or shooters. And we're seeing all of those things now, all of them. We're seeing adjustments. We're seeing him switch the lineup to start the game. We're seeing him switch the lineup at the half like he did today by inserting Brandon Goodwin.
That was awesome. That was the reason we won the game. Like, seriously, straight up, that's the reason we won this game. Seriously.
Right, and you know, people like to joke about Lou Williams, you know, and call him Lemon Pepper Lou, but I call him four-quarter Lou. Because I'm going to tell you something, that man was ice cold for three quarters of that ball game. I don't think he made a shot in the first three quarters. The last I had saw, he was 0-7 from the field. Lou scored 15 points in the fourth quarter of that game, including 4 three-pointers, which was a major reason why they came back and won that game tonight, along with Bogey heating up as well. So, man, I'm just so excited, man. It's just like it's hard to even articulate everything I want to say about the team right now, man, because I really have like a playoff. Like, I really have like a playoff feel. Like, I have that adrenaline pumping, you know, after you just watch the playoff game. I'm telling you, I have not been this excited about a Hawks team. And since, I want to say the year was 1986 when the Hawks were number 2 in the East, where they had Dominique and the guys, and they actually had a better record than Detroit. The only team that they had a better record than was Boston with the 6 Hall of Fame players on the roster. Now, obviously, the Hawks didn't get it done that particular year. But I never truly believed in Al Horford, led Hawks. I mean, I'll just be honest with you. I liked them. I enjoyed watching them play, but I just never thought they could win a championship. I absolutely believe with all of my heart that this team not only can win a championship, Chris, I believe that they will win a championship, sir.
We're 18-11 at home currently, 16-16 on the road. And don't forget, y'all, and I've been mentioning this for the last 2 weeks because I think everybody forgot, we're leading the division, too. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
So, I mean, we're in uncharted territory only because of what we hadn't been used to the last couple of years. This was, again, John Collins is the elder statesman now, and during that eight-game win streak, like, that was different because they had never won that many games. They haven't won three or four games in a row, much less eight games in a row. So that was different to get used to even doing that. But like I said, it's in sales or anything else. When is the best time to get another victory after you just had another one? When's the next time, you know? So for this team right now and what they're experiencing and then them knowing that they can trust other guys to step up, like the cliche next man up is truthful for this team. Whatever the lineup, whatever the bench rotation, whatever it has to be, they're dialed in. Nate McMillan is pressing all the right buttons. And as George mentioned, he's adjusting. He's doing the things that we just did not see before. And it was obvious that it wasn't there and apparent. So, again, I'm going to bring it up again. I don't know why there's still fans who don't want to go all in. What's disappointing about this? Like, this was a huge win. If you weren't at home, if you were able to watch the game or on your device or whatever, and jumping up and down and screaming shot after shot after shot, and if you were on the radio, hopefully you weren't, driving too crazy out there, you know, after shot after shot after shot. But if you're just not excited, I don't know what to say for you anymore because, again, the rest of the league already knows. They're just in hiding right now. But we as fans, we're the fan base, and we can't keep looking stupid like we don't know what's going on because it's happening in front of our eyes, and there's still people in denial, and I just wish it wasn't like that. I know, but it shouldn't be like that. 646-652-4479. We're coming up to the end of this segment. John, did you have anything else, sir?
Well, it was a couple of things, and one of those things is the coaching staff. Now, I got to ask you, did any of the assistant coaches leave when Lloyd Pierce left?
No.
All right. Now, since that's the case, it's all Nate McMillan. And the reason why I'm saying that is that whatever Lloyd Pierce was doing or allowed those assistant coaches to do, and as I pointed out, once before, I don't know none of them. Greg Foster was the most accomplished of them all in the NBA, coaching as well as playing. These people, I didn't know who was the big man coach, who was the point guard coach. But Nate McMillan has put something in place. I don't know what it is that these coaches that Lloyd Pierce brought with him cannot mess up. They can't mess it up because Nate McMillan's not going to let them mess it up. I don't know whether it's the workout regimen. I don't know whether it's the philosophy. But this man has created something here that they can't mess up. And look for these people to move on at the end of this year. Look for them to be gone because, you know, you can go on someplace else and find another job somewhere. But, see, we're on our way to a championship, and – as tight as things get when teams start to go to the playoffs and you're playing the best in your division, then you're playing the best in your conference, then you're playing the best in the other conference, there is no room for error. There's no room for error. And coaching is going to be premier, prominent, important, necessary. Good coaching. And, these assistant coaches that we have here, you know, when it comes down to it and you take time out and you have to discuss things, you got to know what you're talking about and you got to know how to solve problems because it gets down to the nitty-gritty. It's not always talent. It's strategy.
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct. And, I mean, just what are some of the changes that you've seen, John, though? Because One thing we talked about is we never threw the ball in the post. But since Nate McMillan posted up, you see plays ran to get Collins the ball in the paint. You see plays ran to get Capella the ball in the paint. It's not just all relying on pick and roll and fast breaking all the time. You see Coach Nate letting them those guys run sometimes. But you also seeing him telling them to slow it up at times. Slow up the tempo. Let's change up the tempo. We didn't see any of that under Lloyd Pierce. You know, I always liken Lloyd Pierce to Coach Carter on the movie because, you know, they didn't work on no plays or nothing. And when it came time for game time, they asked Coach, what are we supposed to do? He said, what did you do in practice? They said, well, all we did was run. He was like, well, that's what I want you to do during the game, run. And that's pretty much, you know, that may work in high school, but that doesn't work at the NBA level. That he's just going to run everybody out of the gym. And it's amazing because it was once upon a time, I used to say that it would be a good game if the Hawks would only turn the ball over 15 times or less. But now, I mean, it's games we only have 5, 6, 7 turnovers for the whole game. And so, you know, you were singing earlier when you first came on, John, about what a difference a day make. And I don't know if you heard me chime in with the remix. Yeah, what a difference a coach made. And, man, yeah. This is one of the biggest differences I've ever seen a coach make. We're talking about the same players during the same season, and nobody can say Pierce had injuries because Nate has had just as many, if not more, than Pierce has had. Truly amazing, man.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
That's how it was for a long time, right up until the change was made. And then after that, all of a sudden, got a different attitude, got a different, like you said, philosophy, a way of doing things, a way of doing business. But at the end of the day, it's accountability and saying, hey, we're going to implement something, and we're going to execute it, and we're going to give some freedom to actually do more stuff than that one five-doggone pick and roll that I hope you never see again ever in life. And then all of a sudden, guess what? It didn't matter who was in the lineup. People played better. People, you could tell. I mean, again, if anybody has not played basketball, that's not my fault. But people who play basketball, you just know. Again, it's a feeling. It's just the essence of what basketball truly is. Basketball is basketball at a certain point. It's not that hard. It's not rocket science. I don't care what level it is, pro, college, street ball, whatever. At a certain point, there's just certain things that don't make sense and certain things that do. And finally, we got into a position where things make sense all the time. And then, again, you put people in the best position to succeed, and then you let them go. And that's where we are now. And the moves, again, remember, the five things that make a team successful, you have to have an owner that wants to win and does what's necessary to win. That's Ressler. He's already said he's going to spend the money. He don't care about the luxury tax. He's already said it. All these people keep being in his wallet talking about, well, we ain't going to be able to keep. How do you know? You need a general manager that knows what he's doing and makes wise decisions over a period of time. You need to have a good to great coach. You have to have good to great players, and you have to be healthy. We know now that we have the owner, the general manager. We have the coach. We have the players. The only thing that's held us back the last three seasons, basically, is missed games, whether it be suspension or health. If we ever get full healthy, I said this, beasts of the East. And it's time for us as Hawks fans to enjoy this for what it is. You know, we have some of the guys, you know, like Dominique and the Stinger and everything who gets to appreciate this time. They didn't get it while they were playing, but they get to see it now. You know what I'm saying? Even VC being involved. Remember, VC retired, you know, last two seasons as a Hawk. That meant something, y'all. That's part of our legacy. You know what I'm saying? So I just hope that everybody really gets into it at this point. Because, again, you're going to be left off in the dust. Because when we're going down Peachtree Street, you're not going to feel the same as the rest of us who are wearing the Luka and a Hawk shirt. Just saying, because, hey, guess what? Because they in the playing game and they ain't making out the playing game. Just saying, it's probably going to happen. 646-652-4479. I did extend the Hawk segment just a little bit. I am going to get to the next segment soon. Any parting words or anything before we go to the next segment? John or Jordan?
Well,
go ahead,
Jordan.
No, go right ahead, sir.
Oh, one thing that I had talked about, and this was during the week, and this was right after the Milwaukee game, because I did a live right after the Milwaukee game because I, you know, just didn't like and just didn't sit with my inner gizzard as to how we lost that particular game. One thing that we are definitely going to have to work on is the dagger. When you have a wide
open
shot.
Say it again, John. I didn't hear you. What'd you say?
We have to work on the dagger. The dagger.
That's a dagger
that
in your heart.
Dagger three. That, yeah. That, I mean, that dagger three from the corner where, you know, Trey has driven and drawn everybody away from him and a quick pass over to the corner there. Kevin Herter is open. You hit that shot and fling those nets back up through the hoop. That's a killer.
Yeah.
We and just like you were saying about Steve Holman, now the Milwaukee game, the last Milwaukee game, I was listening to it on the radio. And Steve Holman, man, he's on a roller coaster the whole game. The highs, he's up there with him. The lows, he's down there with him too. And he said, oh, you know, and you can tell. You got a wide open three over there in the corner. He missed it. and you know, I don't know whether he's generally feeling like that. I mean, he is riding with them. He's riding deep with the Hawks. And you can hear it in his voice that he lives and dies Hawks. And a lot of times I turn the TV down and listen to Steve Holman. You know, now Dominique and whoever that other one. Jerome Jerome, whoever that is. But, Bob Rafflin. Yeah, Bob Rafflin. Now, they do a good job, but a lot of times I just like to hear Steve Holman because, you know, it's a different type of feel, and he paints the picture for you whether you can see the game or not. And that dagger three, you just don't know how bad that is because now we've been on the bad side of it for a lot of years. We've been on the bad side of a dagger three or a dunk or something of that nature because right after it happens, what do? We call timeout, you know, because we got to recover. But we need to do that. We need to work on that so where we get that opportunity to stick it in and twist it right in that C5, C6 vertebrae back in the back, get them, knock them out. And, hey, you know, that gets you over the top. That really gets me over the top when I see that.
Definitely, John. I'm all in, and you hit the nail on the coffin on the that the shot is the disheartening part of that shot that it, when it goes in, it's like, man, you did all this just for that to happen. You know what I'm saying? It deflates you. You know, and like you said, we've been on the opposite end of that for a good decade by numerous players or whatnot, and it's finally good to actually see it flipped around. Jordan, what do you have to say?
I totally agree with everything John is saying. And Chris, you know, I've told you the same thing in regards to Steve Holman. I mean, I love Bob and Meek. We've had all three guys on our show, but I think it's just something with Steve being on the radio. I think maybe he has a little bit more leeway. But I'll tell you what, Steve Holman, he's a Hawks fan. He makes no apologies about being a Hawks fan. And John said it perfectly. You can hear it in every voice. You can hear it in his voice on every play. And it's like the example John gave, you know, he'll be all excited. You know, Bob passes to the corner. Bogey Bogdanovic for three. Oh, he missed. You know what I mean? It's like he doesn't try to hide it. You can hear the disappointment when they're not doing well. You can hear the excitement when they are doing well. And, man, I tell you, man, Steve Holman is a national treasure. He's one of the best radio commentators in the NBA, in the history of the NBA. And, man, I just have so much love and respect for Steve and just enjoy his broadcast so much. And I do like John sometimes. Sometimes I'll be watching the game, you know, on the TV or on a device, but I have the radio on to try to hear what Steve Holman is saying. And, you know, the fact of the matter is oftentimes the radio is a little bit ahead of the TV, and you can't sync them up, but that's okay. it's worth, you know, hearing what Steve has to say about our team and hearing his excitement. I'm telling you, he had me rolling tonight, particularly in the first half of that game when they only called three fouls on Milwaukee for the whole first half. And we didn't get any free throw attempts for the first half. And just the way he was, you know, upset about it and describing it. And then when it came to the second half and they finally called a shooting foul on Milwaukee where we got free throws, oh, man, you should have heard the celebration he gave when they finally called it. And then when they called a second foul on Milwaukee and Milwaukee started arguing, you know, Steve started basically mimicking the Bucks, saying, oh, no, you're not supposed to call a second foul on me. You're only supposed to call one. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
It's hilarious. Yeah. Man, you got to really listen to it to get the gist of everything he's saying. I know you guys know because you guys have listened to it to him many times. Anybody out there watches a lot of the Hawks on TV and haven't ever taken the time to really listen to a radio broadcast, I would vehemently urge anybody, if that's the case, to please take time and listen to a radio broadcast one game, even if the TV is a little bit behind.
Yeah, I'm just happy that he gets a chance to call some playoff basketball again. And again, this could be really, really specially crazy because, again, once you get out the first round, anything can really happen. And the pressure is on everybody above us. You know, I'm not counting the Knicks, of course, because we'll get back over on them. But the Bucks and the Nets and Philly, they have all – the Nets especially, the Nets have bought them a championship. If they don't win a championship, like, for real, they might have to move to Seattle. You know, I saw somebody talking about the Hawks is this bad team and they need to move the Hawks to Seattle. And I just looked at it. I think it was Marcus Hogan who actually posted it, talking about Sikkim. I'm like, I'm not even wasting my breath on that because that person is just ignorant and stupid. And there's just no – again, those are the type of people that we have to compete against. There's no reason for talk like that because you know they're not watching no basketball. You know they don't know context. And they don't care to know the context. And that's what upsets me so much.
Just ridiculous, man. I mean, mouth will open and anything will fly out.
I'm just saying, you know, it's crazy. I'm like, why do you take the time to watch a game or pay for tickets or pay for food when you get the tickets and pay for parking and drive there and then you got to drive back up? Why do all that if you really don't care? So that's all I'm saying about that. Great Hawks win tonight. I think we played Tuesday against the Pistons. And I'm just – we all should be excited. Of course, we are.
That game is tomorrow, sir.
We do?
I think so.
Oh,
I thought we had a back-to-back, but I could be wrong. Let me double-check.
No, I think it's Tuesday. I'm against the Pistons.
I'll double-check it for you real quick.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get ready to go. We're going to take a little break. We're going to do some Braves talk in a second. But, John, I don't know if you want to hang on or you call back, because we'll probably go back to the pop at the end of the night more than likely. But I want to make sure we get in all these segments tonight for our first show in a while anyway, but we definitely appreciate you calling in. It's been a long time, man.
Yeah, I'm going to have to let you go and call you back. Man, I got construction up here on 75 headed into Chattanooga. And if anybody's listening and they're on the road and they got some people coming from Chattanooga, there's a major accident on the southbound side of 75, so they're going to be a little bit late for dinner or for tea tonight.
Right. Be careful out there, John. Hope we can call back so we can talk a little faster before this thing is over with as well.
Okay. All right.
Appreciate it, John. Take care. Drive safe out there.
Okay, John. Good to hear from you, brother.
All right. Same here, guys. Y'all have a good one.
Yeah,
Chris, real quick, that game is tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, sir. 4:26. Hawks at Detroit.
Oh, okay. So I don't know what I was looking like then. Oh, well. 646-652-4479. I just entered into the Tomahawk Talk Braves page. And it's saying that I can't comment on this post right now, which is kind of strange. Let's see if it's going to let me do it. In the meantime, we're going to take a quick little break. We're going to find out if I can get that fixed. Actually, let's do this. Thanks, first of all, for everybody listening tonight. Big night, you know, the Hawks lead it off. This is our first show in a while, so we're trying to get the Kings back out again, you know. It's been a little bit, but We'll be right back. We're going to take a quick little break.
You are listening to Around the ATL with Chris and Jordan. We'll be right back with more Atlanta Sports Talk.
And we are back. 646-652-4479 as we are on the line live talking Atlanta sports. We love talking Atlanta sports here in Atlanta. That's kind of important. Not talking about, you know, Detroit sports or New England sports or Tampa sports. We're talking Atlanta sports today. Of course, our first segment was the Atlanta Hawks as they beat the Milwaukee Bucks tonight. So we had to lead off that segment, of course. You know, I know everybody is excited and things of that nature, but we do have a lot of other teams that play in town. And what I just did was I was in the Tomahawk Talk page, and for some reason it wouldn't let me comment, but now I'm in the Atlanta Braves fan page. So we're going to go ahead and get started with the next segment, and you know how we used to do that. So let's go ahead and see if we can make that happen again. This is going to be a short segment as we go into the second hour of the show. The Atlanta Braves got swept today. Swept. You know, and one of the monikers I created a few years ago was an Atlanta winning weekend, and we almost had a sweep. All we had to do, because Atlanta United won their match, was the Braves win the doubleheader, and we would have got it. But for whatever reason, the Braves bats were just silent. We almost got no hit. Actually, did we get no hit? But it was seven innings or whatever craziness. We can't hit the ball for nothing. And right now, it's kind of scary because if we're just talking about this straight-up hitting, we only have, like, one person hitting over 300 right now. That's not a pitcher, and that's Acuna. Other than that, everybody's, like, hitting, like, you know, well, Pablo, he's coming off the bench hitting 294. And then you have, let's see, Heredia hitting 231. Austin, he got up to 241, but he was basically 200. But Travis, Ozuna, Freddie, Ozzy, they're all hitting 200 or under right now. And pitching is not much better, of course. Now, we know we have a lot of injuries and everything, but I don't know. Is it too soon to be in panic mode? Is being April? Or do we need to start looking at some alternatives possibly? Because again, we had just got up to nine and, you know, got up to nine wins and kind of even things out a little bit in the division, but then you get swept, you know, all of a sudden, and then we didn't score any runs at all. So I don't know. Well, what do y'all think out there? Braves Country, 646-642-4479. Hit us up. Jordan, we got about 10 minutes on this segment. What do you think, sir?
Well, first of all, that's disappointing to have to talk about, you know, today's games with the Braves after the excitement of what we just witnessed with the Hawks. But you alluded to it, sir, and you were correct. We were no hit in the second game of that doubleheader by Madison Bumgarner. Obviously, with the new rules in Major League Baseball, it's only seven innings as opposed to nine innings. But that's still, the man pitched seven innings of no-hit ball. And we were swept 7-0 and 5-0 in that doubleheader. As far as is it time to panic yet? No, it's not, just because baseball is such a long season. But it's sure tempting to with some of the things that we've seen. I do think that the bats will be all right, ultimately. Before today, we started to see Austin Riley start to come alive, hit his first two home runs of the season. I thought that was a great sign because I was concerned about the bottom of the lineup with them putting the pitcher back in the lineup this year and no DH. And then Christian Pache, before he got hurt, he was struggling at the plate. And we know, you know, he's very young, and we know that his biggest attribute is being one of the best defensive center fielders in the game. And so, you know, you kind of, you know, what if you get a lot of offense from him, it's kind of bonus. But with that being said, we definitely needed our guy. We need our guys at the top to start hitting. But Fatty's going to be all right. Ozuna's going to be all right. Those guys, they'll be all right. The main concern I have more than the hitting is pitching, because some of these pitchers, I'm not sure if they're going to be all right, Chris. Drew Smiley, for example, is one who we signed in the offseason. I want to say $11 million, I want to say, was the contract that he got.
His ERA is over.
Right. And the thing of the fact of the matter is, when you look at his track record, he really doesn't have a great track record. The one thing that was appealing to him was the fact that he strikes out a lot of batters, you know, per nine innings. But he also gives up a lot of home runs and whatnot. So I was just going to give him time to work it out. But because he has such a high strikeout rate, I think that if he doesn't work out as a starter, there may be a role for him in the bullpen. Because he does have such good strikeout stuff, maybe if he's able to come in with just one or two innings and throw as hard as he can, you know, give it his all without having to pace himself like a starter does, I think maybe he'll be more effective. Morton, I'm not worried about. Freed will be all right as long as he's healthy. And I'm kind of concerned that Soroka has had a setback in his rehab, and they're saying that he won't, you know, it's not going to be anytime soon before he's back. But, yeah, I'm kind of concerned about who's going to be that fourth, fifth starter type deal. Ian Anderson has been pretty solid. But even more so, sir, we downgraded in this bullpen. Now, I wasn't the biggest fan of Mark Melanson as a closer, but he's a solid relief pitcher. I liked him better as a setup man, but he's a solid relief pitcher. But for us to lose Melanson and Shane Green and not really replace them with any established bullpen arms, we've definitely taken a downgrade in what was a major stretch for us after all the moves we had made last year.
And see, and that's the only reason I am worried at this point, because recovery time – at this point, we have a lot of people out. And even though, you know, Pache is not the hitter that we think he will be eventually, maybe, we never know. You know, Rafael Belliard never had to hit either, right? He did his job or everything. But see, guess what, though? The people surrounding him are also not hitting right now. And that's a little bit of a problem, where if you're not scoring and then you can't stop the other team from scoring, there's some issue there. Because when is that going to even out? And, again, it is still early in the season. You know, us in the standings right now, let's go ahead and pull that up real quick. You know, we're in third. You know, we're only two games back of first. You know, no huge deal. You know, we lost two in a row, of course, and everything. But, and also, of course, it's not like we have a short season like we did last year. So you do have the full 162 to right the ship, so to speak. But you never want to get too far down. You never want to get too much pressure on yourself to say, okay, well, now we got to overdo it. Now we got to overextend ourselves. Now we got to pitch that extra inning that we probably wouldn't have pitched otherwise, you know, because we got to, you know, because there's a little bit more there. Because you never want to get into a point where all of a sudden it's 10 games. Like, you just never know sometimes in baseball. I think there's some teams that have like a 12-game winning streak out there right now. I think it's Oakland, right? Or maybe it's 13. I can't remember. But you never know who might reel off a few wins in a row, and all of a sudden you're down 8 games all of a sudden. You know, and right now we don't have the semblance of a team to come back like you would need them to. You know, we keep saying that everybody's going to be okay, but, I mean, right now they look bad. You know, it's like that's the only thing that concerns me more so than anything. So I think I'm a little bit more than just concerned. I'm thinking I'm worried, you know, because, of course, you were spoiled from last year and the DH and all that kind of good stuff. But, like I said, come May, you know, that might all turn around for everybody, but – I've seen Braves fans talking about we need to get rid of Freddie. You know,
MVP, the reigning MVP.
It was in print. That's what I keep telling people. I was like, you gotta be careful what you type now. Come on now, that's just crazy say that. But
That's going too far.
It's definitely a little bit of a concern. 646-652-4479. We got about 3 minutes left in the Braves segment. Go ahead.
I will say this, the other guy that I miss on this ball club is Duval. I miss him, man, because he gave that extra punch. And it's unfortunate they didn't have the DH because, you know, he could be in the lineup while still having Pache and Acuna starting and Ozuna DHing. But even, you know, I wish we could have found a way to keep him regardless, man. Maybe platoon him with Pache. To where, you know, some games we have more offense with the ball, and some games we have better defense by moving, by having Pache out there. Because I miss that guy. I tell you what, when we played the Marlins, it seemed like every time it was a close situation, he came at the bat and he got us almost every time in that series. So I do miss him. And that's why I just don't think that our team is that strong overall, not having him as another bat and not having Melanson and Green. I just don't think we're as deep.
The dynamic has changed.
Say it again, sir?
I said the dynamic has changed from last year.
Yes. And so while I'm not pushing the panic button yet, as soon as Double A, Alex Anthopoulos, the Braves GM, for those who don't know, as soon as Double A is able to get some more bullpen arms in here, quality bullpen arm, he needs to go ahead and make those moves. Ain't no use of waiting around on that. And the other guy who I also miss back on this team, speaking of bullpen arms, is Darren O'Day. Because when we traded for Darren O'Day, you know, we didn't see him that first year because he was hurt. But Darren O'Day was pretty darn reliable for us last year as well as another, you know, arm out of the pen. And so to lose those three arms, and along with also having Drew Smiley starting right now, this seems like an overall downgrade in the pitching staff. And you know, I know you usually have to give up quite a bit to get a starter, but you can get a couple of pretty good relievers for some mid to lower level prospects. At this point, I'd go ahead and make that sacrifice, you know, as soon as we can get a team that's willing to trade somebody that'll fit in. And probably, if we can, let's bring in more of these guys that throw, you know, 99, 100 miles per hour, if there are any out there that we can go get. Because one thing about it, you can't, it's hard to score if you can't put the bat on the ball at all. You know, when these pitchers that are slower pitching pitchers and they're kind of pitching the contact, it's always a chance that you can get a bloop hit or something fall in or find a hole. When guys are striking out, they're not going to find a hole. So I love to have even more power arms in the bullpen to go with some of the power arms we do have, like
646-652-4479. As we wrap up the Braves segment for tonight, our first one in a while. I think, and this is a parting comment, I guess, is that I am worried because, and I'll say this. It's possible that we can get back into this on the basis of how we did play last year if a few people do end up stepping up, getting their sales together, so to speak, or whatever, whether it be hitting and or pitching. You know, hopefully Soroka will come back eventually. We know Freed has been, you know, we have a lot of people out. Like, literally, they're trying to, again, I said it the other day, they're trying to match the Hawks with how many people they can have out and still try to win games or whatnot. That's terrible, but that's what it is right now. They're competing, but I would say there's not a lot of room for error in waiting too long. Only because, like I said, if the teams above you all of a sudden rip off 5-6 games in a row and you're not capable of winning, that does put you in a hole and that does put pressure on you. Even though it's the beginning of the season, it's a matter of winning. You know, winning is contagious, but losing is just as contagious. It's like a disease. So you just got to be careful with that. Well, great talking baseball. We always love talking baseball around the ATL. We would love for more Atlanta Braves fans to call into the show. Don't forget the number is 646-652-4479. You can follow on Instagram and Facebook, IMTN Worldwide Radio, and you can listen to past episodes on iHeartRadio, Spreaker, and Spotify. So as we get ready to go to the second hour, we know the Atlanta Falcons have the NFL draft coming up next week. We're going to have a draft show, of course, but we're going to talk a little bit of Falcons in the next hour. Until then, we're going to take a little bit of a break. Don't go anywhere. This is Chris on IMTN Worldwide Radio, and this is Around the ATL.
You are listening to Around the ATL with Chris and Jordan. We'll be right back with more Atlanta sports talk.
Good evening, everyone. This is IMTN Worldwide Radio. My name is Chris, and this is Around the ATL, episode 98. We're doing our first two-hour full show in a while, so very excited. Of course, we got to start the show doing a post-game segment with the Atlanta Hawks with their big win over Milwaukee, although we're, again, a walking MASH unit. You know, the helicopters are chirping. You know, the music starts. You know it's MASH. It's 11 o'clock, right? So, but we're still winning, and that's all that counts. Of course, after that, we talked some Braves baseball. They're not doing too hot right now, but they'll get back on it. But now, we get ready to talk some Falcons draft talk. But, of course, before we get started, let's go ahead and bring our co-host back into the show. Jordan, how you doing, man?
So I'm doing great, man. Still excited from that Hawks win, still running through my veins. And really, man, I'm just excited to be back on around the ATL, you know, talking about these Atlanta sports, man. You know, then definitely some interesting happens as always in Atlanta sports, you know, whether good or bad. It's really never a dull moment. But I'm happy right now that we got a whole lot more positive going on than negative. And, you know, just be happy to be chopping it up with you, Chris.
Of course, of course. It's always a good thing. Again, a lot of people don't take their Atlanta sports that seriously, and they don't mind listening to CBS radio. Oh, my, did I just say that? Anyway, 646-652-4479 is the number, and let's go ahead and get the Falcon segment started.
Yeah. Welcome to Atlanta, home of them dirty birds. Anybody hating, get kicked to the curb. Any other team is absurd. Wearing black, white, silver. Red is for the blood. No one's scared of getting dirty, cause we came from the mud and we hungrier than ever. He rides, she rides, we ride together. Birds of a flock, more like birds of a feather. No one here to party until we get the Lombardi. When we giving up, never. Scratch it off your wish list, mark it on your calendar. A-town players never playing with no amateurs. 80,000 strong and the fans all screaming. We get knocked down and we coming up swinging. And we putting in work, all done in brotherhood. Yeah, we like family and ATL's motherhood. Brand new home, let the games begin. This season we back at it again. Loose!
All right, because we haven't heard the Falcons theme song in a while, you know, I'm just saying. So the Atlanta Falcons have the number four pick in the draft. Now, disclaimer, we're going to have a draft show next Wednesday. I haven't posted it yet. We're going to do a two-hour show because the draft is actually on Thursday. For some reason, I thought it was Friday and I had an extra day. I was wrong, so we're going to make sure that happens. But the Atlanta Falcons have the number four draft pick next week. Now, because I don't want to do too much tonight, all I'm going to do is – now, I am in the Atlanta Bird Gang Facebook group. We already got a couple of people checking us out there. George Clark, what's going on, and Mercy Law, who actually also asked me about the Hawks, and I will definitely fill them in on some Hawks talk later on. But right now we're going to do Falcons. So we have the number four pick, and a couple of days ago someone asked me what they thought that we should do, and I was pretty forthwith about it in this. And then I'll let Jordan take it away as I try to type to the fans out here. We have the number four pick. Matt Ryan is still our quarterback for two more years, unless something crazy happens, which I don't think is going to. If we didn't have Matt Ryan here, I'd be all for go ahead and taking – whichever the best quarterback is at four that we end up getting. But since he is here, I believe you do one of the two things. Take the best player at that position that is there, or take that pick and trade for more picks to try our best to help fill in some of the holes that we still do have that haven't been filled all in through free agency as of yet. Okay? And that's based off of what's been happening the last few years, where we've had some obvious holes in certain positions, and it's bit us in the butt, okay? And that number four pick to somebody, to some team, is pretty valuable as evidence of past trades in the past, right? So if we get the right team, we can get the right deal, I think that's the route we go. If we end up picking the best player, the question was, who do we get? I say, yeah, you know what, go ahead and get Pitts then. If it's all like that and everything, you know, he looks like the player, you know. But again, and I've said this with quarterbacks, but no top pick is guaranteed, just like no number 240th pick is guaranteed. Ask Tom Brady that, right? It's a hodgepodge, but whoever does the best homework, whoever does the best studying usually wins, and they win over a period of time. And that's going to be what we have to look out for to say this, our guy Terry, he's not been the guy in charge, but he's been participatory in moves and things of that nature. But now he's the guy. So what do we expect? Is he going to be better than Thomas Dimitroff? We got to hope so. over a period of time, right? But in the here and the now, we got a lot of things going on, and I still think we have a window. You know, we weren't that far away literally the last couple of years. We really weren't. We really were not, believe it or not. So we'll have to see, but that's what I believe we should do. Jordan, go ahead.
Well, sir, I agree with you. Those are our best two options, is take the best position player available or to trade down. The problem, what I'm hearing with the trade down aspect is that a lot of teams are looking, if they want to move up for a quarterback, I guess they think we're not going to take one, which I would agree we shouldn't, being that, you know, he'd have to sit for at least 2 years. I think that's just 1 year too long. I don't mind a rookie sitting for 1 year. But sitting for 2 years while you're paying two quarterbacks, yeah, you know, I just don't know if that's the right way to go, especially being that part of the reason why you draft a rookie quarterback is to be able to build a team around him while his contract is still cheap. But the fact of the matter is, if we draft a quarterback, say Trey Lance or Justin Fields, even though I do like Justin Fields a lot, if we draft a guy like that and they sit for 2 years and you still have Matt at his current salary on the roster for those 2 years, that's just a couple of years that you don't have a chance to build around the cheaper young quarterback. And by the time you start actually doing that building, you got to turn around and pay that quarterback. You know what I mean? And then you got cap issues again. So with that being said, as far as the trade down goes, I'm hearing a lot of teams are looking to move up since they know that Miami, Miami is not going to take a quarterback. They know that for certain. And they also know Cincinnati is not going to take a quarterback. They just drafted a quarterback last year. Both teams did. So with that being said, it's a possibility that Detroit may be the trade of spot, and we may not get enough picks to trade down. And I mean, I really want, it really, to me, it has to be a great deal for us to even entertain and moving down. So my thing is, I know a lot of people are going to be like, oh no, we need defense, we need offensive line. I understand all that, but we still have 8 more picks besides the first round pick. But I'm looking at Kyle Pitts, to be honest with you, and you know that's coming, that means a lot coming from me, Chris, because you know I hate the Florida Gators. You know,
yeah.
I do. But my love for the Atlanta Falcons supersedes my hate for the Florida Gators. And I've just listened to so many of these draft experts and draft analysts say that Kyle Pitts is the highest graded tight end they've ever graded. In fact, Mel Kiper Jr. said such, and he was one of the guys that said such, and he's been grading drafts for 40 years, sir. I've heard other analysts describe Kyle Pitts as gold jacket level talent. You know, you get a gold jacket when you go to the Hall of Fame, sir. Now, Todd McClure, the former Falcons center, tweeted out a tweet saying, what do you get when you cross Julio Jones with Tony Gonzalez? Kyle Pitts was his answer. So, you know, with that being said, sir, you know, I just find it hard to pass on that level of a talent. And more than just pass on the kid because he's so talented, it's also who we have at head coach. Our head coach, Arthur Smith, is known as a tight end guru. He has had, since he's been calling plays in the NFL, he's had the third best production from the tight end position in the entire NFL. But he's never had the first, second, or third best tight end on the team. We know the best tight ends are Travis Kelce and George Kittle, and Darren Waller of the Raiders is the third best tight end. You'd probably say fourth would be Mark Andrews of the Ravens. So he hasn't even had a top four tight end. He's had the most production out of the tight end position. Imagine what kind of production he can get out of this position with Kyle Pitts. Also, having Kyle and Hayden Hurst on the field and the versatility of Kyle Pitts, meaning he can line up at tight end, he can line up at receiver, he can even line up in the backfield if he wanted to. The versatility of Kyle Pitts means that we could basically run two tight ends all game long, but when we want to make that a three wide receiver set, Pitts is just flexed out. So what that does is, if they want to try to check Pitts with a cornerback because the safeties and the linebackers can't keep up with them, that means they got 5 cornerbacks on the field against a two tight end set. Just run the football. And Arthur Smith loves to run the football. also think having a guy like Kyle Pitts, another weapon, is going to open up the running game. Ain't no way you can play 8 men in the box against the Falcons with Julio, Calvin Ridley, Kyle Pitts, and Hayden Hurst on the field. And like I talk about, being able to run any formation with that same personnel also will make your no-huddle offense deadly, because you can run no-huddle offense, but you can shift from spread formations with all four guys flexed out wide to power formations with two tight ends and two wide receivers.
That's my guy in the first round. I don't really see that changing between now and Thursday on what I see, what I want the Falcons to do. And absolutely, I don't want to ignore defense. I want to go defense in round two. I want to go defense in round three more than likely. Some of those running backs are tempting in those rounds, but I do think we got to show up some things on defense. Now, I will give Terry Fontenot credit. He has made, you know, a couple of solid signings. Dwayne Harmon, who was once a starter for Detroit, is a guy that's going to come in and play some safety. So that means he's a guy who can start for you. You don't necessarily have to get a safety in the first or second round. So we made some pretty decent moves. Eric Harris was another guy we signed that had some starting experience at safety. Not saying that these guys are Pro Bowl or All-World or anything, but at least you have guys on the roster capable of starting, so you don't have to reach. Because one of the things Terry Fontenot has told us, Chris, is his philosophy is to go best player available. That's what he said time and time again. And so having, you know, a few solid signers to fill some of those holes allows him to go best player available while still addressing our needs as you go through the round.
646-652-4479. I guess my main thing with that is we need to be able to have, and this will be on the basis of, and I got a caller I'm about to bring in, on the running back side, Davis and, was it Cardell? Do you get a running back?
Yeah, Cordarrelle Patterson. Cordarrelle Patterson, yes, sir.
Do you draft a running back? You know, so for me, that goes, I mean, yeah, having that excellent player out there, wide out and everything, it can open up, but you still need somebody capable of hitting the hole when it's there. And we hadn't had great success with that. Now, Matt Davis, it did have some, you know, a great year last year, and he's a good running back. I don't know if he's great or not, but is he adequate? I mean, I wanted to be able to go up. I wanted somebody to, you know, we need an Excalibur type of player at that point of time in our history, you know, to really kind of be a difference maker. And right now, I don't know if we have that running back. Let's go ahead and bring in the caller real quick. Good evening, caller. Go ahead and tell us your name, where you're calling from.
This is John again. I was able to pull over, and I said, you guys talking about the Falcons, I can't pass this up. I got to pull over, and we got to pull
over. Oh, boy.
Okay.
Here it comes.
Jordan, now, Pitts is intriguing, and I would love to get him. I would love to get him. The last time we were 4-12, our first round draft pick was who?
Oh, gosh, 4-12. The last time we were 4-12, Vic Beasley, right?
No. It was Matt Ryan.
Oh, okay. It was Matt Ryan.
It was Matt Ryan. First round, I think we had the third selection, if I'm not mistaken. And
yeah,
it was number three. And we picked Matt Ryan as quarterback. Now, here we are again. Pick number four. You would have to go next year, because see, you're going to have to replace Ryan. You're going to have to replace him within 2 years, and I think we can get out from under this salary in 2022 with half of what we have as a cap hit. I think about $23 million. You can say goodbye, let him go, whatever. When you're down here, and you didn't mean to be down here, but here you are, with the best quarterback crop in what? I would say about 5 or 6 years. And I mean 10 legitimate quarterback prospects that if they're not already ready, you hired your head coach and their offensive staff to get him ready. They come with the intangibles. They come with, you know, the prerequisite to be good quarterback. Now, that's your coach's job, offensive coordinator, quarterback, coach, whatever. Go 7-9, well, it's going to be 7-10 or 8-7 or 8-9 and get back to the number 4 pick without giving up some picks to move up, just like San Francisco did. So at this juncture, this is the perfect time to get a quarterback. Now, our salary cap situation is really bad because I think we only have $1 million that we're up under the salary cap. So get ready for somebody else to get cut. Somebody else is going to get cut.
I hear that we should be hearing a Grady Jarrett extension soon, which will free up some of that space. That's what I've been hearing.
Yeah. I did hear that. And I guess they're going to restructure it best they possibly can. But to sign our free agents, because we got 9. Now, we might have to trade away some of those picks to get some picks next year in order to, you know, be able to afford the people that we're going to get.
Yeah.
But we got a pick. Let me see. I think we got 3 compensatory picks in the 5th round. We got a 1st round, 2nd round, 3rd round. Do we have one in the 4? I think we got a 4. I think we got one
in
the
4.
Now.
We have a pick in every round except the 7. We got multiple picks in the 5th.
Right. So those 5th round picks are going to be, and you know, this is just me presupposing because, see, I'm going to tell you something. My second pick, first pick, I'm saying quarterback because of the reasons I outlined. My second pick, man, let me tell you something. You better go deep in the SEC, down in lower Alabama, on the border of Florida, where all of the oppression is, and find some big, nasty, good for nothing. Now, even if you have to go to Reedsville and get somebody off of death row, you need a nose tackle. Because if you're going to go to a 3-4, Grady Jarrett is not it. Grady Jarrett nor Marlon Davidson is it. Marlon Davidson was drafted to be in a 4-3 on either side of the center. Huh?
No, nose tackle, though, you're talking about a big guy. Nose tackle is 325, 355. I agree with you on that,
John.
I just don't think that we got to go in the 2nd round. And in fact, I don't even know if Barrymore out of Alabama is going to be available in the 2nd round. I do have some nose tackle prospects I like. As a matter of fact, one of the nose tackle prospects I like is a guy, and he'll fit perfectly in Atlanta. His name is Bobby Brown. You know what I mean? I do agree, John, we got to get a nose tackle, but I don't know if I would go there in round 2. What I'm really looking at in round 2, personally, is pass rushers. Sir, we have had a pass rush problem for a long time. And so I know pass rushers are risky, and I know that they bust a lot, but I think, you know, I don't think we can wait any later than the 3rd round to draft a pass rusher. If it's after the 3rd round, that's too late, in my opinion.
Hey, real quick question. Toddy Jones on the Atlanta Bird Gang group asked, what about cutting Olison because that could save you $1 million on the cap?
Now, see, Olison, now, me and Toddy go round and round about Olison. But see, this is very interesting. Now, Olison, you don't play this, man. And I'm talking about Dan Quinn and all of these offense coordinators we had. You don't play Olison until the 7th doggone game in the year for 2 years straight. You get fired, you cut Ito Smith, and Olison is still there. Now, how did that work? Because I'm trying to figure out, I was trying to tell Todd, I said, you know, look, why is this man still here? That man wasn't making any money. If he was that bad, they should have cut him. Quinn should have cut him if he was that bad. But he, you know, this new regime still has him, and they cut Quinn's darling, Ito Smith, 2 weeks ago. You know,
maybe they see something in Olison's job, but the one thing about it,
yeah.
I believe that Coach Arthur Smith likes power running.
And we know Allison is a power runner, whereas Ito is one of them guys that like to dance in the backfield and thing. And the fact of the matter is, you know, Ito is a little bit shifty. He's not that fast to not be big. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I didn't have a problem with him cutting Ito, to be honest with you. And I really don't want to cut Allison personally because I want to see if he's got it. I just hate to give up on the guy before he even really saw what he's got. It'd be one thing if we heard, you know, that he was sleeping in meetings, you know, or smoking herbs, you know, behind the practice facility at Flowery Branch. Well, we haven't heard any of that.
No. I didn't hear anything negative about this man. And see, one thing that the Falcons couldn't do last year, they couldn't run. And it's not because of the running backs. It's because of the line. Now, we had a good pass blocking line. Our pass blocking line was rated number 15th overall. Run blocking, we were around about 24th, 25th. But, see, thing is, when Steven Jackson came here, I got to go back to him. Look, if you got a 240-pound running back, you need to make a 240-pound hole for him to run through. That man is not going to squeeze in between nobody. You got to blow this person off the ball. And if it's not with the front five and a tight end or two, you got to have a fullback in front of him that's bigger than he is so that he can, just like Ovie Mahaley. Now, truth be told, the Atlanta Falcons offense under Mike Smith, it started stagnating when Ovie Mahaley got hurt, and they started trying to run Turner out of a one back set. But man, he needed Mahaley. That was the best acquisition Bobby Petrino put on the team for Michael Vick, thinking that Michael Vick was going to come. I'm sorry.
You don't use that name on here.
I got to give the devil his due. Big pause. He left that here.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
I'm rusty. I heard that name. I almost had a seizure over here.
Hey,
man.
But real quick, though, before I just want to talk about some more nose tackles real quick, and I know we'll get into this more during our draft show, but you mentioned some big nose tackles. Here's a couple of guys I like that I look at my list. Tyler Shelvin out of LSU, projected to be a third or fourth round draft pick. I mentioned to you Bobby Brown. He is out of Texas A&M. He is 325 pounds. Let's see. He's 6'4", 325 pounds. And the other kid that I like, I'm trying to see where he is on my list, but it's a couple of kids. It's Chris Tonga out of BYU, 6'4", 321 pounds. I want a guy with some real beef at that nose tackle position. Jordan Scott out of Oregon. He's 6'1", 322 pounds. He's a guy we can look at with the later picks. I do agree, though. We got to get a real nose tackle. I mean, a guy that, you know, can't be moved up front because certainly you cannot run a 3-4 defense with a smaller nose tackle. So I completely agree with you on that, John. I just don't think we have to do that in the second round. In the second round, I'm looking more pass rusher, even though I'm not going to lie. It is some running backs that are tempting. Everybody likes – I mean, obviously everybody likes Najee Harris, but I don't think he's going to be available when we pick in the second round. A lot of people like Travis Etienne. I'm not a big Travis Etienne guy because I just think that a power back is going to work better in Arthur Smith offense. So the kid Javonte Williams out of North Carolina, he's very tempting to take in the second round. I'm not going to lie. But I do think we got to go pass first. And I do think, unfortunately, because we drafted three corners recently, but I do think that we're probably going to need another corner because I have zero faith in Isaiah Oliver.
Come on, man, jealous. The blanket. Come on now. Come on.
And also, one of the guys I'm looking at, and obviously I'm a homer, but in that second round range, if he lasts that long and the pass rush you like is not there, Eric Stokes out of UGA runs a very fast 40 time and was just a very good football player at Georgia. In fact, if you really watch Georgia's games, they didn't really even throw it at Stokes' side hardly at all last year. They went towards the other way where Daniels and some of the other guys were at. because Stokes is a solid ball player. So I definitely know we got to address defense, but definitely don't think we got to do it. I don't think there's any prospect worth picking at four on defense. Now, I do want to ask you this, Joe John, because you said that you really want to take a quarterback four, but does it matter if it's any quarterback? Because we know that quarterbacks are going to go 1, 2, 3. Now, out of the quarterbacks besides Lawrence, I personally like Justin Fields. Justin Fields is here, is from Georgia. I know he left the Bulldogs, but I don't hold that against him. I like Fields because he has the pedigree. He was rated number two player, not number two quarterback, number two player in the nation coming out of high school behind Trevor Lawrence. And he beat Trevor Lawrence in the playoff game on the big stage. But I believe San Francisco, I don't believe this Mac Jones of San Francisco talk. I'd be shocked if that's true. I think that's a smokescreen. I think San Francisco is going to take Fields. Now, if San Francisco takes Fields, Wilson, which I don't understand why Zach Wilson's going number two, I think he's going to be a bust, to be honest with you. And then we know Lawrence is going number one. If 1, 2, 3 goes like that, what quarterback are you taking at four, John?
Hey, John, before you answer that question, Jordan, this is going to be the last one because we got to go to your next segment. But go ahead, Jordan. John.
See, I knew that, you know, they were going to grab quarterbacks. I knew the first three were going to grab quarterbacks. And I'm not really partial to anybody. The only thing that I'm looking at is that this coaching staff is building its team. Okay, because, you know, now Matt Ryan, he may curry some favor. He may, you know, be something that somebody's looking at, you know, that Arthur Smith is looking at. But thing is that he's got to prepare for life after Ryan. And whoever he gets, his future is going to be tied up directly with that player, with that quarterback. And I'm for letting people do their jobs. Now, the general manager fired the whole scouting department, which I said they should have been fired years ago. These were the type of people I told you once before. You send them to the store for some toothpaste, they'll bring back Preparation H because it comes in a red and white tube. And then when your gums start receding, you don't know what the heck done happened. You done lost 15 games because you got the wrong thing in the soap. Plus the fact, now these people went to Big Lots. Fontenot and Arthur Smith went to Big Lots and got the best things in the soap. They got the best things in Big Lots. And one or two of these people may be starting or be really good pieces to build a defense and an offense around. Okay? And I can see the difference in the philosophy right now because, see, now we were a little bitty team. We had one of the smallest offensive and defensive lines in the NFL. Whenever I would see the Ravens come down here, I would be, you know, shaking because poor little old Alex Mack, I saw him just drug, man. They had a row of corn planted where they drug him from the line of scrimmage back to the goal line. Because you got 340 pounds all the way across in a 3-4 linebacker, 255, 260, just running over our running back. And the first thing that I'm thinking, how do you build a team with itty bitty people? And it all goes back to the philosophy that Bob McKittrick and Alex Gibbs had on offense, that leg whipping, that cut blocking, all of that old crazy stuff that when you get mono a mono, you can't hold up against them. And it was the same thing on defense. Same thing on defense. So, you know, in a nutshell, wrapping my segment up, hey, I'm relying upon them to pick the best quarterback, running back, whatever it is that they pick. There's some people that I like. There's some people that I've seen. But you know where I want to shop at. I'm an SEC shopper. Why would you go anywhere else? The SEC puts more people in the NFL than any other conference in the country. Plus the fact, just looking at Alabama, every coach, position coach, and coaching assistant
that gets turned loose from the NFL, they come to Saban. So those people in Alabama are ready. They ready as soon as they graduate to go straight into the NFL. Same thing with Georgia. I think Belichick came down here again and grabbed some folk, or is going to grab some folk in the draft, because they always come shop down here.
I'm hoping, that's one of the things I'm hoping with Terry Fontenot, and I'm not expecting him to pick any player just because they're a Bulldog, but don't be avoiding Bulldogs. And they didn't pick Bulldogs with New Orleans, you know what I mean? So I'm hoping that we see some of that here.
We shall see. Well, guys, remember, we got a two-hour draft show next Wednesday night, so definitely prepare and get ready for it. There might be some moves before then. We'll see. John, of course, definitely call in, and we'll see if we can get some more of the Atlanta Bird Gang group to call in as well.
All right. All right. All right. I'm going to get on back on the road here. I need to head on back to the house.
All right, man.
Right,
take care.
Be safe out there on the road, John.
Huh?
Be safe out there on the road, sir.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. Talk to you guys. Pledge as always. Talk to you guys later on.
Yes, sir.
We got a lot to look forward to this coming 2021 season for the Atlanta Falcons. So definitely tune in next Wednesday night at around 10 o'clock, same time, same channel, around the ATL. We're going to take a little – actually, we're not going to take a break. We're actually going to go because we're a little bit behind now, so we're going to move some stuff around. Of course, every show we try to get in a new segment that it's been sweeping the nation, so to speak. It is called Jordan's Jewels, and let's go ahead and get the music going for that real quick. Oh, I thought I lost the caller there. That kind of worried me for a second. So let's go ahead and do that right about now. And Jordan, the show is yours. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. All right. First up on Jordan's Jewels, we're going to go to a little Atlanta Falcons stat here, and it's about quarterbacks and the percentage of wins that they had in seasons without a top 10 defense. Breeze, who thankfully just retired, he had 87% of his wins without a top 87.8% of his wins without a top 10 defense. Matt Ryan has had 76.9% of his wins come on a team without a top 10 defense. Peyton Manning, 75.0%. Aaron Rodgers, 71.5% of their wins without a top 10 defense. Tom Brady, you might ask, well, what is his percentage? 23.5% of his wins have come without a top 10 defense. So, I mean, we know he's great, but obviously he has certainly had the benefit of having some great defenses backing him. Trey Holmes, skip to the Atlanta Hawks. Trey Young, you know, we can't go with Jordan's Jewels without mentioning him. He now has 57 games with 20 points and 10 assists since entering the NBA three seasons ago. That is tied with James Harden for the second most during that span. Only LeBron James has more over that stretch with 58, which is one more than Trey over that stretch. That may fall very soon if Trey comes back healthy here. Trey Young has also tied Baron Davis and Pete Maravich for the 27th most games in NBA history. That's 44 games with 25-plus points. 27th most in NBA history, sir. And he's only been playing 3 years.
3 years, that's crazy.
Right. Clutch time is defined as the last 5 minutes of a game in which the point differential is 5 minutes or fewer. Over the last 25 seasons, there have been two instances of a player recording at least 20 points and 5 assists in clutch time in a game. The first instance was Trae Young on March 1st in 2019,
versus the Chicago Bulls in the four overtime game. The only other instance was Trae Young recently in our last victory against the San Antonio Spurs in a two overtime game. The only person in history to do that, which is wild, you know. Trae Young is also the only Atlanta Hawks player since play-by-play data began being tracked in 1997-1998 to score 15 points in overtime. He's done it three times, though, sir. So he's the only one to do it, but he's done it three times. Trae Young has also become the eighth fastest player in NBA history, and this is from my guy, Kevin Connelly, who we had on the show last time out. Shout out to Kevin. But Trae Young has become the eighth fastest player in NBA history to reach 1,700 assists. Only guys who were faster were Oscar Robertson, Mark Jackson, Tim Hardaway, Kevin Johnson, Tiny Archibald, Chris Paul, Damon Stoudemire. Right after Trae Young took him three more games is Jason Kidd. And the last guy on his list, the 10th fastest guy, shout out to the coach, Nate McMillan. Took him 199 games to reach 1,700 assists. Also, Trae Young had his 30th career 30-10 game recently. That's the most by any player before turning 23 since the three-point era. Let me jump over real quick. Oh, one thing I definitely got to mention. According to the Nielsen Media Rankings, Atlanta has jumped three spots in the Nielsen Media Rankings and have now gone from the 10th largest media market to the 7th largest media market in the country. That is ahead of Houston, D.C., and Boston. So I don't want to hear any more talk about the Atlanta Hawks being a small market team. We are not a small market team. We are in a top 7 media market in the country. Real quick, shout out to Atlanta Dreams, Ari McDonald. She was the superstar of the NCAA tournament for Arizona before her team did fall in the championship game to Stanford. She was drafted recently, number 3 overall by the Atlanta Dream. And Coach Nikki Collin had a comment about McDonald. She said, you saw her leadership. You saw the fun she played with, the energy she played with. Anyone that knows my team knows who we are, knows all those things matter to us. And so basically seems like R. McDonald is going to fit right in with the Atlanta Dream. Also, shout out to Lindsay Pulliam from Northwestern. She was the Atlanta Dream's third round draft pick. Just a few things about her. Her nickname is Pull Up, play off of her last name. Her favorite color is blue. Her favorite restaurant is Lido Pizza. Her favorite food is Mexican food. And her favorite pair of sneakers is the Jordan 4 Off-White Cell. Now, her favorite basketball team is the Lakers. We're going to forgive her for that. But her favorite player to ever do it is Kobe Bryant. So we also want to welcome Lindsay Pulliam to the team as well. Also, our second-round draft pick was Raquel Correa, a 6'3 forward out of Spain. She was the 15th overall pick in the WNBA draft. Congratulations to her. And definitely looking forward to watching the Atlanta Dream. And even Chris Paul gave a shout-out for the Ari McDonald pick, tweeting, excited to watch Ari McDonald in the WNBA. Watched her in the NCAA tournament, and she is tough. And on a little bit less positive note concerning the Atlanta Dream, the Atlanta Dream did part ways with President and GM Chris Cianco. He had been with the team since 2007, and he actually brought in Renee Montgomery as a free agent in 2018. Now we all know that Renee Montgomery is a major part of the ownership group, so kind of interesting tidbit there. And that is Jordan's Jewel segment for this week. More to come on our draft show on Wednesday.
Thank you, sir. And since we kind of have some Jordan's Jewels related to the ladies of the Atlanta Dream, let's go ahead and since we haven't done a segment in such a long time for the ladies, let's go ahead and do that real quick here.
Do you know what kind of woman you have to be to rise in an all-male run, all-male controlled, all-male executed, all-male domain, all men all the time? Do you know what kind of woman you have to be to survive, not only survive, but to thrive and to gain their utmost respect, their utmost regard, and to gain the admiration of not only the men you work with, but everybody who encounters you? Do you know what kind of woman you had to be in 1980? You gotta be powerful, powerful, powerful.
So when you hear that music, you know we're talking some Atlanta Dream basketball, and as we get ready to end the show in a little bit, wanted to make sure we did get to mention them. Of course, Jordan mentioned that we do have a new player on the team because of the draft, recently drafted from the Arizona. My mind just went blank. Freshman of the championship game. Thanks, appreciate it. Aaron McDonald, and at the third pick. So with the third pick, and then last year having Kennedy Carter here, we definitely going to see, I believe, a resurgence in the team. It's been a long time coming. The team basically has been rebuilt over the last couple of years. Now, we know we've had some instances of players not being there no more, but we do have Tiffany Hayes still. We have Monique Billings, who I believe is coming into her own as well. I believe that, you know, Coach Nika Collin, who, of course, we've had on the show, is going to be able to get the troops, you know, ready to go for this season. You know, the season, I believe, starts in May, right? So that's just right around the corner now. So I believe this is a team that can compete, you know, in the conference and have another shot at getting a lot further than they have been over the last few years. And, of course, a lot of us have been disappointed, you know, because we really see a lot in this team here in town. But I feel that we're on the verge. You know, we have all the pieces, again, that you need. You have some rebounding. You have the scorers. You have the distributors. So I'm excited about this season. I'm hoping to go to College Park and watch some games myself. Hopefully we'll have some ladies to start calling in, hint, hint, to, you know, talk some Dream basketball in this particular season. We used to have a lot of ladies call in that first season, but not so much the second season. That we've been on the air. So we're hoping that this year, this third season of Around the ATL, will be looking forward to that. Any Dream talk that you can speak of other than the your Jordan's Jewels? Jordan.
I just wanted to give a few stats on R. McDonald. R. McDonald averaged 21.9 points for her career, so she was balling every season. In fact, she as a freshman, she averaged 24.1. And she had identical scoring averages of 20.6 points per game, both her sophomore, both her second and third year. Also, a great defensive player, R. McDonald is, and extremely fast. And so the thing I'm most excited about, and I don't know how that's going to work because I know they got a lot of good players. I don't want to discount Tiffany Hayes, who shout out to Mo out there, Hawks Twitter, who's called the show before. She mentioned to me that Tiffany Hayes has been playing really well overseas, so that's exciting to hear. But I'm excited about the future of the Dream with this backcourt of R. McDonald and Kennedy Carter. I think they're perfect complements to each other. I think Kennedy Carter is just a dynamic scorer, and R. McDonald can score very well, but R. McDonald is a tenacious defender. And so I think those two are going to really, really fit well together. I think they're perfect complements for each other, and I think once they start to play together and get a chemistry together, I think you're going to be looking at one of the best, if not the best, backcourt in the WNBA in the years to come, sir.
646-652-4479. As I get ready to, we're going to end the show on Hawks Talk tonight. I'm actually about to go back into one of the Facebook pages real quick. Let's see if we can do this on the fly here. I wasn't expecting to do this, but tonight was such a big win. You know, on the scale of 1 to 10, this was a 15, you know, because, again, there was a part of the game where – and this is one of the things I always say about watching Hawks basketball this season from March till now is that you never want to just walk away. You never want to turn to watch Perry Mason. You never want to, you know – because you don't know what's going to happen next. And if you've seen anything of the team over these last few weeks, you know that they have it in them to come back, and they want to come back. They need to come back almost, right? So it's just really exciting to see that aspect of this team right now, because it just hasn't been there before. I mean, the tools were there, and one of the things I've been saying for such a long time is they're just out there, and by sheer will and talent, they manage to get wins sometimes, but without focus, without direction, without the leadership, without a methodology, it's hard to win in the NBA when you have so many other teams out there that have teams. You see what I'm saying? And over the last couple of days, just especially, you know, Nate outcoached Coach Spo, one of the best out there. And for whatever, you know, for what it is, he just outcoached Coach Bud, you know? So when you look at it, and then, again, they were a whole lot more healthy than we were. So they can't use no excuses. They had their whole squad out there. Had the point guard. You know, they were talking about, you know, Holiday as they got the point guard for Giannis. You know, they got their guy and everything. And Detroit don't know what they're missing with Chris Middleton. He's been to All-Star a couple times, right? And, you know, Lopez do this and, you know, Bobby Portis, you don't know how I used to talk about Bobby Portis all the time. Well, Bobby Portis is finally playing some ball, right? We beat them.
I started to call you during the first half and ask you to take back everything bad you said about
He hit that second three-pointer. I was like, uh-oh, wait a minute now. And I was like, oh, okay, all right. It still doesn't matter to me. I still don't. But at the end of the day, though, at this point, if you can't get excited about Hawks basketball, now you never will be. And I just feel for you when it comes to May and we start hitting the playoffs and when we get out the first round and then whoever we play in the second round. I feel so – like I said, I don't have no hesitation in saying we can get to the Eastern Conference Finals right now. You know, and sometimes it is matchups and seeding and stuff, but – I'll give the caveat because everybody's going to say, well, Chris, what if we ain't healthy? Okay, yeah, it will be really hard to where we're going to go to the playoffs, play six players down still. That'll just be wild, okay? Not impossible, however. And if anything, as long as we got Trey, we know we got Gallo back now. So if this is what we got to run with, we run with it as long as Bruno don't play. Sorry, Bruno, it ain't going to happen. But if we can get Snell back, if we can get Hunter back, we already got Gallo back. I'm supremely confident we can get to the Eastern Conference Finals, you know, and then after that, who knows? So I'm excited, you know, again, like Jordan mentioned earlier in the show, you know, just jumping up and down and screaming and yelling, and Jordan was listening to the game on the radio. So imagine if, you know, we had been in the stadium, and somebody on Twitter just mentioned, you know, I wish we were able to fill up State Farm tonight, but as much as it wasn't full, it was still loud. And again, we have a home court advantage. Just think about how many home wins we haven't been get. We always get beat at home. That doesn't happen anymore. And that right there should tell you it's different. And if you can't get excited just because of that, I mean, like, for real, I feel for you. I feel for you. DJ is in the New Pack City group. Of course, his perennial fire LP comment is on there. Injuries is not an excuse. If they get back, okay, but we still need to win fire LP. So, you know, again, I've been saying this. We've had plenty of talent to win games. It's just a matter of putting the talent in the best position to win and making decisions that some talent ain't good enough to be playing. Eventually, it's like, and this is one thing I will say the last 2 years, if people were doing not what you want them to do, why are they playing? Because now that's on you that you let them do it. You're letting it happen on purpose. You see what I'm saying? You're holding folks back for no reason at all. You know, and again, we spotted the Eastern Conference 20 losses. You see what I'm saying? And again, for me, that's just unforgivable at a certain point, you know. So I'm glad that Travis had it within him to make the move that Thomas Dimitroff didn't want to make with the Falcons in like-mindedness. Instead of just continuing to just let the team just suffer, He made the move. We got 5 minutes left in the show, 646-652-4479. Real quick before you go, Jordan, thank everybody for listening to the show, watching the show on the Facebook pages as I bounce around a little bit. It's been a while since we've done a two-hour show. It's been a tough 6 months, I ain't going to lie. We do have an NFL draft show coming up next Wednesday. Please, you know, check that out. And, of course, follow on Instagram, IMTN Worldwide Radio, and Facebook. Listen to past shows on iHeartRadio, Spreaker, and Spotify. And, of course, make sure you follow my page, IMTN Worldwide, on Instagram, my business page. And go ahead and follow my personal page, too, IMTN1. Go ahead, Jordan.
Well, my final thing is I'm going to say about the Hawks is this. Yeah, I do agree with you, Chris, that, you know, sometimes it does depend on matchups, but I don't need to see a matchup to say this. This team is getting out of the first round. I don't care who the opponent is. This team is getting out of the first round this year. And we did lose a game here recently, a game that which we were up pretty comfortable against New York before Trey went out. By the way, Trey had 20 points and 14 assists in about 2.5 quarters of that game, less than 2.5 quarters, to be technical. So he was about to go for 30 and 20 minimum in that game. But I'm calling you out right now. After y'all won that game, I saw a video of Knicks fans jumping around the streets and celebrating. I'm hearing a lot of trash talk on Twitter and on social media. So I'm calling you out right now. We want the New York Knicks. That's what we want to see, okay? And I'm going to tell you something. You know, y'all, we would have won that last game had Trey not went down, and we had so many other players out. This team is almost all the way healthy. I'm not saying we have to have all six guys back that are out. Definitely got to have Trey back. But I'm going to tell you, if this team is near healthy, Hawks in 5 over the New York Knicks. You heard it here first. You know what I mean? And so, New York Knicks fans, get ready because the Hawks are coming for you. And I'm giving you about a 0% chance in a 7-game series against my Hawks. With that being said, sir, what say you about that prediction, sir?
Well, again, and I may mention on it on a lot of the Facebook pages and things of that nature. A lot of people don't understand context. I'm going to take 1 minute to do that in regards to, it's not the principle that fans can't be happy, but why are you jumping up and down like you won the championship or you've clinched something when all you did was get to fourth place? And I understand that they haven't been to the playoffs since 2013, but that's just over the top. You see what I'm saying? And they're asking for it now. Again, if Trey hadn't got hurt, he would have won that game. If Goody had hit his free throw, Bogey would have won the game with that three-pointer that he hit, which was clutch, of course.
Right.
Again, right. We're in that position now. We're in the supreme position now where the East is on notice. Just like Goldberg, we know we're in the South. Who's next? You see what I'm saying? That's how we need to be as Hawks fans right now, because we should be utterly confident now that we have the leader that we've needed for a long time. We have players. We have pieces like other championship teams of old have had in certain situational instances to say they can do their job when it's needed the most. And we're going to win because of that. In 2 minutes, Jordan, tell people where – well, actually, you can't tell them where you're at anymore too much on social media. If you do, go ahead and yell it out real quick.
I'm on Twitter, at Jordan23. At Jordan23ATL, I'm on Twitter. I've been on Twitter interacting with the Hawks Twitter community here quite a bit lately. Also, check me out on Bleacher Report. My name is Jordan15ATLGA on Bleacher Report. It's a growing community, and there's a lot of good banter and trash talk right there. And before I make my final statement, I did just want to chime in on that comment about the Knicks. That can be
real
happy,
quick,
but that one's way beyond happy. They're calling the Hawks bums. And they're saying they're going to sweep us in the playoffs, and they don't even know what's coming for them. With that being said, though, sir, certainly thank everybody for listening to the show. So glad to be back on the show, man. So excited about what's going on with these Atlanta Hawks and this Falcon draft. And so thank everyone. And last but not least, as always, I got to thank God for giving me this breath that I breathe to talk about these Atlanta, these Georgia sports that I love.
That's going to do it for tonight's show, y'all. Thanks again, y'all, for listening and watching and participating. Hopefully, as the weeks go by, we get regular again. We'll have more and more to tune in and watch, whether it be on Facebook or listen to the show live. please make sure you go to those pages, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, to listen to past episodes. Follow us on IMTN Worldwide Radio on Facebook and Instagram. Make sure you follow my page, of course, IMTN Worldwide on Instagram, and my personal page, IMTN1. That being said, this is Around the ATL. Y'all take care now.
I'm gonna go get some food.